peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ on this first day of 2020. Today I will be preaching from the text of St. Paul's epistle to the Philippians, as Pastor Ben mentioned. And I want to focus on three main points within this text. First, St. Paul's call to us as Christians. Second, the prime example of this call. And third, how we can answer this call. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our Rock and Redeemer. Amen. The celebrated author, C.S. Lewis, once wrote, "A really humble man will not be thinking about humility. He will not be thinking about himself at all." True humility is the putting of one's own needs on the back burner, whilst first and foremost seeking to fulfil the needs of others. It is the selfless giving of one's time and efforts to aid others, not for your own gain, but for theirs. It is not something that one can measure in themselves, for as soon as you begin to rate your humility, comparing it against others, you are no longer humble. Yet this is exactly what St. Paul calls believers to do in this letter. Paul, along with Timothy, is writing to a church that he holds very dear to his heart. His letter is filled with joy and thanksgiving for the support that the people of Philippi have offered to him whilst he has been imprisoned. It tells of Paul's learning to be content in any situation, praises the Philippians for their partnership with him in the gospel, and urges them to live a life of unity. If I bring us back a few verses from where our text for today begins, we read that Paul is calling the Philippians to a selfless life. He asks them to complete his joy by being of one mind, having the same love and the same spirit. He tells them to do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but, in humility, to count others as more significant than themselves. Do not look out for their own interests, but instead to look out for those of others. To show the Philippians what this call looks like, Paul tells them of the prime example of humility, Jesus Christ. Though he was in very nature God, he did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. What's translated here as "used to his own advantage" has a more physical connotation to it. It relates to something being tightly grasped, even snatched or robbed. If you're familiar with The Lord of the Rings, you would know the character Gollum. He is a creature that is in possession of a magic ring that grants him certain powers. He calls this ring his precious. Gollum has attached himself to this ring, clutching at it, holding on to it for dear life. This is the kind of meaning that the word is getting at. Paul explains that, rather than thinking that his equality with God the Father was something for Christ to clutch onto, his precious, in complete humility, he put his own welfare behind him. His primary concern was not holding on to his limitless power, using it to serve himself, ensuring he was comfortable and had everything he could ever want. Instead, his focus was on those whom he so dearly loves, us. He made himself nothing for our sake, taking on the very nature of a servant, being born a human being. And he did not just come as any human being, such as one with earthly power or authority, but as a no one, a child born to very ordinary parents in the backwaters of the world he created. He likely spent his life as a rather ordinary person up until his baptism, after which he began his public ministry. From there, he faced ridicule, disbelief, and continual challenge from those he came to save, even as he told them about why he had come. Eventually, his mission of salvation, based on love and concern for his creation, would lead him on the path of being scorned, beaten, and finally killed, giving up even his own life for the sake of others, dying not a death befitting a king, but that of a criminal, humbling himself to death, even on a cross, a punishment too severe for Roman citizens, and one seen as a curse by the Jews.
Christ, from the highest heavens, completely lowered himself, condescending to take on our nature, to die on our behalf, even descending into hell to defeat the powers of sin, death, and the devil. He is the perfect example of what it means to be humble. So when we read Paul say, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, we think, simple, right? Unless, of course, like me, you suffer from the human condition. Unlike the Lord, who selflessly gave up everything for our benefit, our thoughts and desires are not directed outwards, but are curved in on ourselves. We usually seek out first our own interests and wonder what we might get out of things before looking to invest our time and efforts into them. Instead of taking on the nature of a servant, wouldn't we much rather take on the nature of someone in power, like a king, or perhaps even God himself? What a contrast. Our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, left his heavenly home to become as us, to save us, even while our thoughts and desires have us so desperately wanting to reign in his place. Yet even though that is our fallen nature, the Lord still calls us to live as he did. The condition that we find ourselves in is no excuse for not living according to how God has commanded we should. So what are we to do about it? We regularly confess that we are born in bondage and cannot free ourselves. We are incapable of changing our nature and living as Christ did by our own power. Thanks be to God, he hasn't left us to our own devices to deal with this. I think the ESV translation of verse 5 gives us a better understanding of what Paul is saying here. It reads, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." This mind relates back to what I mentioned Paul spoke about earlier, being in complete unity, having the same mind, the same love, the same spirit, doing nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. He tells the Philippians, and thus us, that this is already ours in Christ Jesus. In your baptism, you were united to Christ's death and resurrection, and the gift of the Holy Spirit was given to you. This is not a spirit of timidity, but one of power and love and self-control. As you grow in faith, hearing the word, coming to our Lord in prayer, receiving his precious body and blood in the sacrament, you are being transformed more and more into his image. As the Holy Spirit works this in you, humility becomes a part of who you are. Your new nature in Christ fights against the old, and indeed Christ has already won the battle. But our old nature doesn't so readily admit defeat. It continually tries to reign in us, even though it has already been vanquished by the blood of Christ. No matter how hard we try to live our lives in accordance with God's plan for us, we fail day after day, something Paul, the chief of sinners, knew all too well. His confidence to place this call upon the Philippians did not come from them, but rather from Christ. Christ was exalted to the highest place, given the name above every name at which every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And in his lordship, he has deigned for you to join him where he is at the end of the ages. So friends, perhaps you could make it your New Year's resolution to heed Paul's call. Don't look only to your own interests, but to those of the ones around you. And if you fail, don't look to your own power to save you, but remember the one who never fails, whose humility covered you, and whose humiliation on the cross redeems you. Christ is a really humble man. When he came to earth, he was not thinking about humility. He was not thinking about himself at all. He was thinking about you. Amen.